Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Sing it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you all are having a great Tuesday out there. Mel and I are going to get in some entertainment in a little bit. We're going to talk about our Lights of Love event coming up. We got that on the way. Preview our day ahead and our schedule. Also get into a fun one. What are the top five must-have Thanksgiving foods? We got that coming up as well for you.
Oh, but yeah.
Right now, we're joined by friend of the station, friend of the community, Connie Henke, art director over at the Alexander House in Port Edwards, and of course, a great watercolor artist herself. Connie, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you, James.
Always appreciate it.
Hi to Melissa Kay, too.
Hi, Connie.
Hi.
I'm glad you guys did that. We know that that's working, so that's great.
Yes.
If Mel has any questions for Connie, she can ask. But Connie, thank you so much for joining us. I want to dive right into this awesome exhibit that's going to be premiering this weekend over at the Alexander House.
Yes, we have a exhibit opening Friday night from 5 to 8 p.m., and we will be showing Evolving Dimensions, A Multifaceted Journey Through Art. It is a solo exhibition featuring two- and three-dimensional works by William Carberg from Port Edwards, Wisconsin. So
oh, wow.
We're really excited having a local artist, and he will, you know, be taking over the whole house with his work. So we're really excited about that. We will provide refreshments that night, and William will be there, will be present, and the display will remain at the house until January 7th.
Oh, great. First off, a big congratulations to William for this. I can't imagine how great this must feel, how humbling it must feel to be able to do something like this. And it's one of the things that we certainly love and appreciate about the Alexander House, being able to highlight and, you know, support local artists and everything. We're big creatives around here and appreciate what you guys do there. But I have to say, too, I encourage you to go to alexanderhouseonline.org. You can get a little bit of a look at some of his work. Wow, Connie. Like, just wow, he is good. This is some really interesting work.
Yes, yeah. Very nice work. Prolific in the fact that he does, you know, all different types of work in media. So the show will have paintings, jewelry, and sculpture. So
yeah.
It'll be a great show.
I look forward to seeing the sculpture work. I haven't gotten to see some of that, but some of his jewelry, some of his painting work here, the jewelry is very unique. And granted, this is not my wheelhouse. I don't know that much about jewelry, but it looks very unique to me and very unlike pieces I've seen in the past. But his painting is just beautiful. And there's a similar thing with his jewelry to his painting with the use of colors that I see that I really enjoy. He's got quite a use of color, quite a creativity with that.
Right. And the majority of his paintings will be in watercolor. So, it'll be a great show. And, you know, between the paintings and the jewelry and the sculpture, it'll be a great show.
It sounds like there's something for everyone. And then plus you also get to experience it at the Alexander House, which I got to come to your last opening, and that was just lovely to see it in that setting with everybody there and people to talk to and chat with. It was really, really fun.
Oh, right. It's a great place for artists to show their work and for people to come in and view work. And it's a great facility, and our lighting on the pieces is fantastic. It's state of the art. A lot of artists comment on, wow, my pieces are just glowing. So it's fun for the artists too.
And it's neat to see them in that like home setting. Like you could picture that painting in your own home.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Will this artist have things for sale at this exhibit?
Yes, he will. He will have, yes, I think the majority of the work will be on sale. There's just a few pieces that will not be on sale. Plus, he'll have not only the work, but he'll have a lot of cards, too, that will be for sale.
Oh, perfect. With the holidays coming up, that's perfect.
Right. You know, something that isn't a major investment that people can, you know, purchase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing I really appreciate about being able to have William on hand, Carl Berg, I shortened his last name, having William on hand here and everything is not only getting a chance to meet him and, you know, be able to talk about this work with him, individual pieces and getting his mindset on it or something like that. I love talking to artists and creatives about how the creation of the work, how the sausage was made, if you will. But one other thing I think that really happens, not only when you bring somebody like William in, Connie, but any of our local artists, individuals, other people in the community meet William, they get to talk to him, and they realize William's just like me. Like, there's no reason that I couldn't be doing this too. And we have so many amazing creatives in this area that may not even realize they're artists, may not even realize they could be doing this too, and maybe encourages them to reach out to the Alexander House or, you know, any of our great, you know, nonprofits around here that support the arts and maybe promote their work and put their work out there. We cannot have enough great work. We cannot have enough great creatives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, definitely.
It's a fun part of this. And William's going to be down there. Connie will be down there. We encourage you to get down there this weekend. The grand reception will be held on Friday, November 22nd from 5 to 8 over at the Alexander House. The artists will be present, going to have some refreshments down there. And keep in mind, the exhibit will be going until January 7th. And I did want to remind everybody as well that the Alexander House is open 1 to 4, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. And you can always make a special appointment. I'm looking at all you schools out there and everybody else.
Right. Yes.
Connie, anything else you wanted to touch on before we let you go?
I don't think so, James. I think we pretty much covered it all.
Oh, nice job, everybody.
We're really
nailed
excited.
That. great work. And always good to talk with you, Connie. Thank you so much. I wish you guys a great exhibit. We hope to see you down there, okay?
Yes, that sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Connie. Connie Hanke there, a watercolor artist and, of course, art director over at the Alexander House in Port Edwards. Always appreciate the time from her.
Mm-hmm.
And find out more at alexanderhouseonline.org, alexanderhouseonline.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on everything they are doing over there, and share things on your page that others might not see otherwise.
Yeah, and it's, and like you said, James, it's a really good sneak peek of what you're going to see at this art exhibit. I can't wait to see his jewelry in person, because online it looks fantastic.
Doesn't it? Is it just me, or it looks really unique? I don't think I've seen pieces like that. That's pretty cool.
I haven't either. I mean, it's a work, it's like metal and stone, and the settings are very unique.
Yeah. Check that out, everybody. And again, alexanderhouseonline.org.
And you can get some ideas for early Christmas presents.
Seems like a really good idea. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and we'll talk some entertainment coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Big thank you to Connie Hanke over at the Alexander House for joining us. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was. And it's such a great time to visit over there, too. It's so welcoming. I loved it.
We have moved on in the movie industry, in the industry of parody, from the superhero movies, from horror movies, which were kind of the niche the last handful of years, to now we're all into documentaries, into biopics. We're doing biopics, and we're doing biopics not of people from the 1800s. We're doing biopics of people from the 1900s. It's more so from the 90s, 80s, that kind of thing. You're seeing a lot more of this. We talked yesterday about the Bob Dylan biopic that is going to be coming out, starring Timothy Chalamet. That has got a lot of rave reviews already behind it. And a lot of other artists are noticing this. And not so much actors to play these roles, but artists who have biopics about them. In recent months, there has been talk about a Mariah Carey biopic.
Really?
I thought that was kind of, and it's interesting, not as so much about the artist, but about it being somebody that we've kind of, a lot of us have seen their whole careers.
And those people are still alive.
Right. And that just is odd to me. Mm-hmm. I feel very strongly about documentaries, when it comes to those. A good documentary, I don't know if you can do one like 6-7 months after the incident happened. I really feel like you've got to have at least a year buffer there of being able to get data and collect interviews and so many other things. And then for some documentaries, there's the law involved in these things where you can't talk about certain stuff until like a set amount of time.
Right.
So I really like, there's Netflix is doing this a lot right now where they're just kicking out stuff and they're not really, it's not about quality. It's just, you know, quantity. They completely botched the how many people were going to be watching the fight this week, and I say fight very loosely. So that messed up for them, and then they've been putting all this money into documentaries and everything because that's where a lot of things are going nowadays. But they're not putting the research into it. They're not doing, for example, they did a, there was a years ago Tim Donaghy, a NBA referee that got fired and a huge scandal because he was betting on games. So they do a documentary on it. And guess what? You just get his side of things. It's only his perspective. It's shocking. He was wronged. It's not true documentary work. And I feel like much like we use the term reality TV. What you think of as reality TV is not what really reality TV is. That's not the definition of it. Reality TV is when you don't know a camera is on you. If you know a camera is on you, it's just, honestly, bad TV. It's just TV that doesn't have real actors or real writers or anything like that.
Loosely scripted.
Yeah.
It's still scripted.
Similar thing with documentaries. I feel like you can't just call it a documentary and under some big umbrella. These aren't true docs. And the biopic thing is going to be even more interesting to me.
Well, and I think, like you said, you need to have the perspective of time to fully assess everything that happened and to be able to do the research necessary, get the story from both sides, all sides. I mean, there's people's lives are complicated.
Yeah.
You can't just sum them up in a short amount of time with one perspective.
Well, and nobody wants to see the bio. See, the part of, and this is going to get a little macabre. I apologize, but it is me. When it comes to somebody who is still living, are you going to get a biopic that's going to be honest? Because the big problem, the one thing that they don't seem to be getting right with these things is the thing that people want to see is the blood and guts. They want to see the scars. They want to see, they already know that Elton John had a hit with Rocket Man. They want to know what was going on behind the scenes with it.
Right.
That's the kind of story that they're looking for. So,
and sometimes you need the lens of time to be able to share those stories.
You know,
enough time needs to have passed. For it to be, I don't know, kosher? Is that an okay way to describe it?
Absolutely. Well done.
Those stories?
Yes. Very nicely done. All that being said, this is kind of an interesting one. It seems like this is a biopic that is just going to happen at any point now. Madonna has been working on for 4 years a biopic about her life that may see the light of day, may not. Who knows? But one of the things that the reason this came up and the reason we know about it is because she was on Instagram the other day, and she said, quote, "After struggling for days in LA listening to producers and agents tell me why I couldn't make my film, I realized that everything in my life is going to be challenged. No easy rides for me. I guess I should be grateful. It forces me to think outside the box." And then Madonna is asking her fans to weigh in on whether she should turn her story into a series rather than a movie. And she added, quote, "Think before you answer." And so this is part of the, without getting too into the weeds here, this is part of the issue with her biopic. Madonna wants to turn it into a TV series. They want to turn it into a movie. There's more money in the movie. There's more opportunity for awards and all that. All of these things. I think that's a fair, fun question. And I love that she's asking, well, she's doing two things here because she's one of the smartest to ever do this.
Mm-hmm.
She just put every one of those producers on notice because now the conversations they've been having behind the scenes, they're out in the open now.
Mm-hmm.
So now if this doesn't get turned into a TV series, they know exactly who to point to.
Right. And who to blame. And the fact that her being in charge of this or being involved in it is a totally different
yes And
you know, game that changes the game completely because she's involved.
Yeah.
I think these other ones that are being created about other people and they have zero involvement, those are the ones that make me go, ew.
And this could go one of two ways. So Elton John, a lot of people were giving credit to Rocket Man because Elton had a little bit had a bit to do with that one, and he was very adamant about that movie's not being made unless you show the scars. You got to show my failures, my you know, my humbling moments and a lot of that. But there were some people that actually pushed back on that a little bit, that there was almost too much of it, and that he was too hard on himself in some ways. And then, of course, there's the other side of it where they just romanticize everything and they never did nothing wrong or whatever. I don't know what side of this Madonna might be on, but there's certainly a bias no matter what. You can't get past that. It's your life you're telling.
Right. But since she's still alive, I think she should be involved, and I'm glad she is.
Agreed. Do you ever do this with, I don't know how many biographies you read, but I don't really read biographies where the actual person is not involved.
No, I prefer to read them if they've at least co-authored or authored them themselves. Yeah.
Look, I know it's going to be cool. I don't know if it's going to be cool, but it's going to be cool to see what happens with this.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, yes.
Looking at what's new on your small screen tonight, Dancing with the Stars semifinals are on at 7 on ABC and Disney+. The 14th, third season premiere of Night Court on NBC. I'm just happy that's still on the air. I honestly haven't seen it since the first season, but I do like that show. Mm-hmm. The one-hour special Defying Gravity, The Curtain Rises on Wicked, will be at 9 o'clock on NBC.
Ooh.
That could be good. That could be good. Mm-hmm. That's that soundtrack. I'm not a musical guy, but that soundtrack, man, that's got some like pop hits on it. Defying Gravity alone, you could turn into a pop song. There's some great music in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight's schedule also Murder in a Small Town, Accused, FBI International, and all of those. And while those are all fine and everything, I recommend making some plans over the next couple of days for some other programming, like radio programming.
Yes, we do have some great radio coming up.
Yep, including tonight from 5 to 6, be sure to join us. We've got Community Stories of Melissa Takei, our second episode of this one, of the adult one.
Yeah, this is just the second episode. This will be the second one in our veteran series. You will be introduced to Rod Watson. He is the new the Lincoln High School principal. He's also a captain in the National Guard. And then we'll get to hear the first part of Tom Heiser's story. And you recognize Tom Heiser's voice on our airwaves as he comes on every month to give our monthly veterans update. But there was too much to include in all just one episode. So you'll hear the first part of his story this week and the rest of his story next week.
You know, it's one of those things that I was curious about with doing this, Melissa. All the interviews I do are pretty much time sensitive and, you record it and all that. And we have kind of a standard blueprint with these. With these interviews, I would imagine that one of the tougher things has got to be editing.
Let me tell you. Yes. The resounding answer is yes.
Yeah, I say that glowingly. Like this is that's a good problem to have for anybody out there that may not know much about this. The kind of work that we're talking about here. More material is always a good thing, but it doesn't make it easy either.
No, it's hard to cut anything out of these stories because these are their entire lives, basically. You're hearing, how they joined the military and why, and the adventures that they had while they were enlisted and what happened afterwards. So these are sometimes gritty tales, I'm excited to share them with the audience.
And certainly keep that in mind when listening to these, everybody, and encourage you to spread the word about this show. Put it on your social media feeds. Just make sure other people are seeing it, because not only is it great work, but these are stories of individuals that deserve to be told and heard and remembered.
These are heroes of our country who have helped keep us safe and free.
And don't you forget, we got you on Thursdays, too. Be sure to stick around on Thursdays from 5 to 6 for Community Stories Junior.
Yes, Community Stories Junior this week will introduce you to two of our theater students who absolutely owned the stage this summer in Newsies Junior. You'll hear my interviews with Cammie and with Austin, who were the leads in Disney's Newsies Junior at the Hopewell production this summer at WRCT. And it's fun to hear their experience in theater and then where they're going next and what they're doing now.
Really great. It was fun to get to talk to them and get to know them a little bit. And those are kids that are going to go on to do some really great things and did some great things this summer. Can't wait to hear those, too.
And also, of course, the second chapter of Kevin the Cat.
Yes, yes.
Tell time.
Cannot wait for that. I got me on the edge of my seat with Kev. It's a good one. It's a good story. Did want to remind everybody as well that tomorrow we are going to be live and direct in our afternoons. Our midday magazine will be shortened a little bit, but for a good cause and a good reason, we're going to be live and direct from Aspire's Review for the Lights of Love celebration.
Yes, the Lights of Love celebration will start at 4:30, I believe, with interviews, and then the programming starts at 5:30, and there's the children's choir. You're going to hear special guest speakers, and then of course the dedication ceremony for the Lights of Love and the lighting of the tree. So really looking forward to that. It should be a great time. You can come and be there in person. You can sit in the warmth of your car and listen to us on the radio, stand outside, or you can tune in from home, because we will be live on air on WFHR from 4:30 to a little after 6, probably.
Yeah. I want to say, first off, a real big thank you to Lisa Skiba, who's actually going to be kicking off the interview. Certainly Cindy Bates, the choir director, and those third through fifth grade kids, they're going to be coming down and singing and everything. It is a beautiful event. There are so many individuals that come on by. The interviews are really wonderful, everybody. They give you a chance and an insight into things not only going on with our community and different topics, but individuals that we don't get a chance to talk to nearly enough.
And I also believe you'll hear poetry from our middle school students there. Miss Jackin's class will have the winners of their poetry contest.
Yeah, which is really cool for them. It's something that we're humbled to be a part of. We really are, and we know how much the community loves this event. Especially if you're new to the community, check this one out, and you'll see exactly what Melissa and I are talking about. It is amazing how many people come down, no matter what the weather. I did about three of these, and every one, being honest, the weather can be pretty rough sometimes. but people, whether it's coming down and being there in person or in their car or honking their horns when the lights get lit up. It's become such a wonderful tradition in this community we're proud to be a part of.
And this year should be much better than last year, because last year it was so cold our equipment froze. This year it's going to be a lot warmer.
Yeah, I got that going for it. And I want to send a very special shout out to Melissa Kay. You guys have no idea how hard she works behind the scenes, and then adding this onto her plate. Good on you, Mel.
Well, thanks. It's fun to be a part of the community and part of these special events where we get to go out and actually be in the community. I love it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to doing more and more of these kind of things. We got to do that El Cafe remote one of these days. We got to get that down.
We got to eat pie on air.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
It's going to be fun, too. It's going to be great. For now, we will go ahead and take a quick time out. But again, remember to make some plans tomorrow for Lights of Love. Kicks off at 4:30. Whether you are down there by Aspirus here in Wisconsin Rapids, or you're listening to us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Get ready to make some plans and have some fun with that event. We'll be back after our news break here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Get ready to call up 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app, because we're talking food, we're talking turkey, we're talking Thanksgiving.
Food is good.
Kroger Supermarkets asked people to name the top five must-have Thanksgiving foods. So if you can only have five things on the table for Turkey Day, what are they going to be? Here are the five Thanksgiving staples that got the most votes, and then we will dissect those, of course, and figure out what they got right and what they got wrong. Number five on the list, pumpkin pie at 30%.
Okay. All right. Okay. That one's kind of a given.
And number
interesting
four,
that it's number five.
Yeah, yeah. Tied with at number five with 30%, gravy.
Gravy. Yeah, you got to have gravy.
Can't have it without the gravy. Number three, mashed potatoes came in at 49%. And number two, stuffing with 55%.
Okay.
And at number one, turkey with 83% put on the list. That's actually kind of low, I would think, for Thanksgiving, 83%, but I guess not, yeah.
No, actually, I think it's kind of high. There's a lot of people that don't actually like turkey. And if turkey isn't made good, like if it's not done well, turkey can be very dry and unappetizing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a big turkey guy. In fact,
there's two things on that list you wouldn't even touch.
Yeah, yeah. But I also know this isn't my list. This is all of us. Now, mashed potatoes are technically a vegetable, but nothing green made the list. So you know that's added note from Kroger on this. Mm-hmm. So what does your list look like? How does it compare, Melissa?
Well, for me, it would be number one, stuffing.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a toss-up. Number two would probably be turkey.
Okay, okay.
Cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to not see cranberries make the list. Yeah,
same. Yeah. And then I would probably say mashed potatoes and gravy.
Ah, there you go.
It counts as one.
Counts as one, yes.
Yep. And, oh, rats, what did I forget? Green bean casserole.
Oh, nice. Oh.
There's the greens.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a full Thanksgiving meal right there. You don't need anything else.
No, you're pretty good. That's pretty good. That's
because
sets it up.
I could live without the pumpkin pie. I can.
Yeah, I could see that.
As long as there's stuffing.
I think the others are a little more necessary than that one. I could see that. But that's just what I think. What about what you think? Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Okay, turkey number one. Sausage stuffing, number two.
Ooh.
Mashed potatoes and gravy, number three.
See? You got to combine them.
Got to combine.
Yeah. Number four, green bean casserole.
Yeah. Kevin's my man.
I'm really disappointed in you, Melissa, because I'm sure Steph is probably going to be disappointed in you. There's no pumpkin pie.
Yeah. See? It's a big one.
Yeah, but I replaced it with cranberries, so I think that's fair.
Yeah, that is fair. I feel like.
Well, you got to have, I do love my mom's cranberry sauce. But, I guess I could take care of leaving the cranberry sauce, the cranberries, the fresh cranberries and stuff. But you got to have pumpkin pie. Come on.
But see, for me, if you're having turkey, you got to have cranberry. Because I find those two complement each other so well.
I'm with you on that. I don't do a lot of food combining, but I do have a little cranberry with my turkey. I do if I'm eating it, yeah. I do have to double check this, too. I haven't had a chance to research this yet, but according to the Wisconsin Constitution, I'm pretty sure it's not officially Thanksgiving unless there are cranberries involved. I feel very confident about that. I'll look into it. I'll research it more, but I'm pretty sure you got to have cranberries involved in some way.
But pumpkin pie is very important.
Yeah, if you also do want to stay with a cranberry, you can probably come up with some type of cranberry dessert,
My mom made an excellent cranberry crisp or cranberry crumble.
Ooh.
Those are really good.
That does sound good.
And then you have you kind of got to throw it in there a little bit too, is maybe some sweet potatoes. I'm not a big. You can keep the sweet potatoes.
Oh, my grandma made a sweet potato casserole with a pecan crumble on top. It could almost be a replacement for the pumpkin pie. It was sweet. It was savory. It was delicious. Like the savory from the salt and the pecans is so good.
Yeah. Well, but I guess sweet treats own. Everybody probably has their own, list, but. So, but like you said, it's almost has to be a given. You have to have pumpkin pie in there somewhere.
I would eat your list, Kevin.
Yeah.
I would.
Right on. I do think I think one of the things that there's a lot of parallels with these, with your lists and both of yours and other lists in this particular one. But I think one of the things that they should have done is had a list of six, and sure your top five, and then one is just that family thing that every family has some kind of Thanksgiving thing that they do that might be a little different than others or completely different than others.
Yeah, in the Midwest here, it's probably the green bean casserole.
Yes. Yeah, things like that. So there should be just a side note of thing for something like that, at least.
add on.
Yeah, you always have to have your add-ons.
Just got them. Yeah. Always good talking to you, man. Anything else you had?
No, that's about it.
Yeah.
Kind of my list.
Pumpkin pie, yeah, is, you know, good list. Pumpkin pie is important.
That's a good list. Yeah, I like it. Safe travels out there, brother. You take care.
All right. You guys just hang on to your hats today.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, right.
You too. Definitely.
Always good to hear from you, Kevin.
Thank you. Best listeners in radio. Phone lines are open. 715-424-2600. What are some sides that you have to have part of your Thanksgiving? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you about that. Think it'd be fun. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and let us know, everybody.
Absolutely. You know what? More food talk.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Every time. Want to hear it.
Someone on TikTok is on a mission to get Coors to start using Gatorade-style twist tops.
Okay.
I don't know. I saw this the other day, and I honestly forgot about it. They put it away, and we had other things we were working on, so we kind of got sidetracked. But the big orange wide mouth caps that make more chuggable, like Gatorade and all that, and the twist part, that's what they're looking for on a Coors thing.
But don't they have like that Coors aluminum bottle now that basically has that size?
I think they do. I think
opening?
They do.
I mean, it's not plastic, it's aluminum, but...
I know that a lot of people chug beer and everything, and there's that, but I think it's a little different with Coors, as considering it is mostly water. It is, so, I mean, you are... I'm joking. If you
no,
love Coors,
no, you're not.
I'm not joking at all, but I stand by that. But you know, if you like it, you like it.
Exactly.
So this
Each
guy...
Each their own.
This guy posted a video suggesting that they use it for Coors Light bottles. Then he decided Coors Banquet would be even better, and then sent them a tweet. So he was actually reaching out to them and like seriously trying to get this happen. It isn't just like a half.
This is my idea. You should do it because it's smart.
He shared, yeah, right. Yes. He shared a screenshot after they supposedly responded, calling it a neat idea, and said that they'd do it if he got 15 million likes in the next month.
Oh.
His mock-up art has it as a plastic bottle, so you'd be able to squeeze it and drink it faster, but plastic isn't really used for beer because it goes flat faster.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is not going to work in this.
No.
And while I don't mind the idea. I think that one of the advertising things that actually does work for beer companies a lot is changing their label or beer bottle. It just happens to work. There's not a lot of science behind it, but it seems to work for a lot of these companies.
Mm-hmm.
But now this I'm not sure. And I don't think people really need help drinking faster. I don't think that we need to reinvent the wheel here with that. I feel like that's kind of covered. I'm not sure about that one. I don't know.
Yeah.
That is a possibility of being that a right story, doesn't it? That's the feel of it.
Maybe it does. It does.
It isn't one right now, but it feels like, you know, a month from now, we're like talking about this, like, okay, and in our that ain't right section. Y'all remember when we talked about this? It feels like one of those stories that could rear its ugly head back.
Yes.
We will take a quick timeout, our final one of the show, but it's all right because we got plenty of material to take us to the top of the hour. We got a lot to talk about yet on the show. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're going to wrap up our 2 hours with you here with some local stuff going on, tell you a little bit about our schedule, and get into some good stories of the day.
All right.
And one of those good stories of the day, I found at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. You can check that out at goodnewsnetwork.org. Encourage you to do so. Do some really nice reporting over there. There's some really interesting stories. One about a guy who turned an old mobile home into a log cabin in an amazing DIY project. A father and son who were trying to find a Roman road, but found a shovel of 16th century silver coins instead.
Oh,
it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, you know, as somebody who, you know, not only interviews politicians a couple times a month, but I certainly am known to take my shots. You know, I own that. I've done that before. And I'm also the person that says that we need to be better about how we talk about our officials and everything. Accountability is very important. But if we want kids and future generations to do these jobs, we have to be careful about how we speak about them, talk about them, and let them speak for themselves more times than not, because that is really not only how we find out who they really are, but what the job that they're going to do. And I think that they kind of, you know, give people the answers right there for themselves. We don't really have to say certain things. Like, I don't have to say that Eric Hovde's a child, for not, owning the results of the election sooner, like every single other politician in this country did. You guys can figure that out for yourselves. Did I just do it? I just kind of did it, didn't I, Melissa? I did kind of just do that. Well, he's different. That's different, though. That one's different. He doesn't. He's not. He's in California right now. He can't hear us. He's not listening. And that's not an exaggerated joke, by the way. That's serious. I'm being literal about that. This is one that I do want to note. Congressman Andy Kim won his campaign for the U.S. Senate seat in New Jersey last week, a result that left many fans cheering because he kind of came known to people. He's a 42-year-old. It became a fan favorite for his selfless and humble act caught on film 4 years ago. It was about 1 in the morning following the gruesome attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, when Representative Kim got down on his knees and began picking up trash left throughout the whole building.
Yeah.
Andy had been finally heading home after a late night vote that certified Joe Biden as winning the presidency when this, of course, broke out. And he just he was there, saw it was dirty, so started cleaning.
Yeah. Stuck around and started cleaning.
And while there are a lot of people out there who are in Congress and in the Senate and who have become household names for the wrong reasons, I don't believe that this gentleman has and should be for the right reasons.
Correct. Because there's an example of a true public servant, someone who is there to do a job and then stuck around to do what wasn't necessarily his job, but he saw something needed to be done, so he did it.
Yeah. And that's America. That's America 101 right there. It's a pretty cool story, too. And got some other cool ones, like this one about a World War II vet in Rhode Island who just got his high school diploma. 98-year-old Anthony Simone was born on the 4th of July in 1926. He dropped out of school at the age of 16 to support his family during the Great Depression, then enlisted in the Army and fought in the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
He eventually got his GED, but never got an actual diploma. So his family made it happen last week. They got his high school to hold a graduation ceremony for him on Veterans Day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Man. Try not smiling hearing that story. I'm having a hard time reading it because I'm smiling so much talking about it. That's a really cool story. I got some other good stories of the day we're going to get to in a moment here. But first, let's dive into our schedule for today. And great stuff coming up for you minutes from now. Matt and Air on Air.
Oh, yeah. Jane and Greg are so much fun.
Got a lot of great stuff lined up for you in the show today. Be sure to join Jane and Greg Monday through Friday for Matt and Air on Air. And, of course, the Maggie Dawn Show a little bit later today from 2 to 4. Maggie is on fire.
Mm-hmm. When is she not?
Yeah, that's a good point. She has just been, I've gotten to hear a last couple of shows of hers, and man, she is just on point and has been entertaining along with educational. She does that better than most. And one of our favorite voices here at Civic. Join Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 Monday through Friday for the Maggie Dawn Show. And hey, that leads perfectly into Midday Magazine.
It does indeed.
Got a great one lined up for you today. Our good friend Tom Derry going to be joining us. Exalted Ruler with the Wisconsin Elks Lodge, number 693.
Ooh, great.
We're going to talk about the community Thanksgiving dinner coming up, along with Breakfast with Santa.
Yeah.
All these locals are landing Santa for interviews. We got to get him on Midday. We got to get him on Midday Magazine.
You need to get on that, James.
I really got
to
work on that one. And in part two, United Way of Southwood of the Adams Counties, Terry John's going to join us.
Hey, does anybody know Terry? Have you ever met her in person?
I'm looking forward to it. I've heard good things. Terry's
great. We love having her on our airways.
We're looking forward to focusing on our United Way. It is campaign season. It is go time. There's plenty to talk about with our United Way. Also, of course, after Midday Magazine, be sure to stick around for Community Stories with Melissa Kay.
That's right. We have a new episode today in our veteran series, and you will hear from the Lincoln High School principal, Rod Watson, and his service as a captain in the National Guard, and then also the first part of Tom Heiser's story.
Really, really looking forward to those. That should be great. And Tom's a great great talker, great interview. That should be really wonderful.
Yes, indeed.
Good stuff right there. Be sure to check out Community Stories with Melissa Kay every Tuesday and Thursday from 5 to 6 right here at WFHR. And when you're done with that, you know, hey, stick around here. We got Pete Schwab and some great stuff coming up afterwards. Mel's going to be on Pete's show, I believe, coming up. That's
cool.
Yeah,
he invited me to come on tonight to talk about the new show, Community Stories. So
stick around and check that out. And then during the commercial,
about 7:30-ish or so.
Right on. Enjoy. Have fun. Tell Pete hi for us. And
I will.
And well, you know, during the commercial breaks, maybe or something. Or actually, you can check it beforehand. Go ahead and listen to our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. Countdown to the Hunt.
Yeah, Seth was nailing it last night.
Boy, was he. It was on. It was doing a great show, Seth. A big shout out to you. Nicely done yesterday. And appreciate your guests. Appreciate all the guests that we will have throughout the week. Today, from 6 to 7, we're going to be focusing and talking with our Wood County DNR.
Mm.
Another group that we just don't get to talk to nearly enough. That is
good information there. Great job to Ashley as well in putting this together on her end, because this was her brainchild. I
was going to say, this is a passion project for her, and it's come together really well. Work, Ash. Nice work. Wednesday, Raised in Wisco with Sean Becker. We think our audience is familiar with Mr. Becker. Thursday, Central Wisconsin 4-H Shooting Sports. It's going to be great.
All right.
And I'm really looking forward to Friday, women's bow hunting from UWSP. I've always wanted to get into bow hunting, archery, just anything to do with an arrow. You know, I love that stuff. And hearing from a woman's perspective, we don't get a lot of that. It's a really cool idea for a show.
Yeah.
And of course, we're taking your calls. We want your questions. We want you to tune in and hear from area experts and listeners like you, and help your school and be on the radio. Call into the show, ask a question, share a story, a hunting joke, and win money for your school.
Ooh.
That's pretty
Just
cool.
Just make sure the jokes are clean.
Yes. We are a PG show, everybody. And the school that gets the most shout-outs is going to win $500 in free advertising. So all you schools out there, get involved.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Countdown to the Hunt going all week long from 6 to 7 on 105.5 WIRI, Wiscountry. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Good stuff a little bit later today. Tonight, we have some great basketball on the radio dial for you as well. We'll have so not only will we have Countdown to the Hunt from 6 to 7, but at 7:05 on 105.5 WIRI, Lincoln High School girls hosting Nina. Mike and Seth going to cover that for you.
All right.
That is going to be a good one. Be sure to check that out, everybody. I love high school basketball season back in effect. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Keeping things going here. We got a great blood drive happening, kicking off in 5 minutes from now.
Oh, yeah. From 10 to 2 today?
Or 10 to 3.
10 to 3 at the former East Junior High School. The Community Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin will be there to collect blood donations. You can make an appointment. You can also walk in and see if they can take you. And then the next one with them will be the following Monday.
Be sure to make plans to do this. You can be a hero. Be sure to donate if you can, everybody. We greatly appreciate that. And if you'd like to schedule your life-saving donation, you can give them a call, 1-800-280-4102, 1-800-280-4102. Meals with Love is going on tomorrow at the Seventh-day Advent Church at 611 24th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. This is a free community meal. Meals will be served from at 4:30 and 5:30. Doors open at 4:15.
All right.
Be sure to check
that out. If you need a free meal, head on down.
Yeah. And Lincoln High School is going to have a band concert on November 21st at 6:30 over at the Performing Arts Center.
Great. Yeah. This is, I think, one of the last one of the sequence there that we had.
Yeah, that and we really do appreciate not only them sharing these with us, but you all attending these. Support these kids, support the arts, everybody.
There's nothing more rewarding than looking out and seeing your people in the audience.
You're so right. You said that. That just hit home, getting the chance to feel that over the weekend. You're so right about that, yeah. It never gets old performing for your parents, but to have your kid out there, ooh. Ooh, I didn't know what that would do to you. You find a different level on that one. And I imagine these kids are going to feel something very similar this Thursday at 6:30 over at the Performing Arts Center. Join them for the Lincoln High School concert. That's going to be a fun one. And we've got other great events going on throughout the week we're going to be talking about in this segment here. Everybody be listening for that. I did want to touch on some other world good stories, like a 65-year-old dad in Texas who sold his dream car in the 80s after his second kid was born and bought a minivan, like a lot of parents do.
Right. You need more space.
Yeah. His name is Earl. He used to tease his son, Jared, about it, saying he sold his 67 Camaro for diaper money.
probably not wrong.
Yeah. Now, 4 decades after he sold it, Jared just gave him the Camaro back.
He found it?
He couldn't find the actual car, but he found the same model, spent 2 years fixing it up in secret, and gave it to him on his 65th birthday.
Wow. That's so cool.
Man, that is pretty cool. And I don't know if he has siblings, but good luck. Good luck to those siblings trying to, like, Matt, you can't follow that gift, right? Like,
no, you
gotta give,
can't top it.
You got to give dad the gift card before the tie before that. That's pretty cool. That is a pretty cool story. And a guy in Arkansas bought his mom a lottery ticket for her birthday, and she won $200,000.
Oh, wow. That's a nice birthday present.
She told lottery officials he's a good son and always takes care of her.
Understatement of the decade.
I feel like, exactly.
He's a good son.
Again, if this guy's got siblings, good luck. Good luck. As somebody who is far behind my siblings in points in my family, I will tell you, this is not an easy thing to be able to compete with. That good luck on that one. That's tough.
Oh, that's fun.
Those are some great stories. Great stories. Mm-hmm. And you know, we also encourage you to share your good stories with us, everybody.
Because there's nothing like our local good stories, and there are so many out there. I get to share them on our community stories show, our new show, and then we also get to hear them when you call in and share your good stories with us.
Yeah, there's multiple ways. You know, you call up in the morning here with us, or maybe you want to email us that story, and we'll share it on the air here live. Or, yes, community stories is right there for you, everybody. We want to get those local heroes on there as well. We appreciate you reaching out and let us know, because we know we got a community full of them.
I even have my own email address for that now, James.
Oh, yeah.
Communitystories at civicmedia.com. .us.
Communitystories at .us, everybody. Hit her up.
No, at civicmedia.us.
Civicmedia.us, darn it. Be sure to hit her up.
Email addresses.
Yeah. Great show today, Melissa.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.